All right, guys, when it comes to interviews, this is one of my favorite ones. I've been waiting to do it for quite a while. Tonight, we're going to sit down with Shahseed Elizabeth Carranza, one of the people that make Atanasio Tequila come to life. She's going to talk about the whole story of how she got into tequila, how her dad, master distiller Rene Carranza, became the master distiller of Atanasio and Familia Landeros, the distillery there in San Pedro Los Landeros, just outside of the town of Tequila. Talk about how special their tequila is, what they're doing that makes this so great, and what I believe is the best experience in tequila. Check this one out. You don't want to miss it.
It's Tasting Tequila with Brad.
Okay, out of all the interviews that I've done, this is one that I am truly one of the most excited ones that I've ever got the opportunity to do. I'm here with one of my favorite families from tequila. I'm excited to have you here, Shahseed. How are you doing tonight?
Oh, that means a lot, amigo. Thank you so much. I'm very happy. I'm very excited to share this little space with you and talk about tequilas and drink some tequilas together. Thank you so much for the invitation.
Well, I'm going to say this. I want to go ahead and pour some, a fresh pop from this repo. I am so excited. I did get to drink this with your papa at the distillery, but I haven't had it since we've been home. So I want to hear about you and your story of tequila drinking one of your best tequilas. So tell everybody who you are and your little tequila story.
Of course. I think I also need a pour of tequila so we can start this conversation flowing. I have my favorite expression, actually, which is Orígenes as well, 46 ABV, but this is Blanco. Let me get my little cup.
Well, all of the conversation gets flowing after the tequila gets flowing. So I'm exactly. Glad you brought some to drink as well.
Like you can't talk about tequila without drinking tequila. Like that it just doesn't make sense. Exactly. So cheers, first of all.
Salute.
But so my journey in tequila. A lot of people will think that I've been in this industry for many years, same as my family, but actually like involved with the production of tequila is something that is very recent in our lives. Like my family got involved with the distillery where at the moment we produce Atanasio in 2011. Then the distillery was certified for tequila production until 2017. But even in that year, I wasn't like fully involved, like participating in the experiences or representing the brand all over the world. I was just like knowing that we had like a tequila brand and that's it. So I started to get more in contact with the industry when my father made me the invitation of working with him. First of all, translating the tours that we created at the distillery. That was by 2019, 2020 kind of a thing. And it was just like a something temporarily. I also did like some previous jobs for Atanasio, like making videos, photos, because I've always been a huge fan of content creation and marketing. So I did that before. But like what I started like really working was through translation. And like when you're doing these kind of experiences, you're not just translating, right? Like you're also understanding new aspects of this industry. I'm from tequila. I was born here and grew up here, and I've always been in contact with the industry, but I've never understood the roots and the importance that tequila has for my culture. So through these experiences, listening to my dad talking about, you know, the technical sides of the production, but also like the meaning that it has for him and for people and the value that of the farmers, right? The people that is taking care of the agaves, like understanding all these little aspects. I was like so amazed. And I couldn't believe that I never realized that from the beginning. But I guess it's a journey that everyone has to pass through, right? So I think like doing that process of translating is where I learned the most and I fell in love with the industry completely. So I will say that like truly, truly starting in the tequila business around 2019. And from there, I started to now guide the experiences by myself and now representing the brand in various events, tastings. And I say that we do a little bit of everything, right? Because we are a small company. So it's not like you just focus in one thing. Like you have to you have to divide the activities. But we love what we do, and I truly feel blessed that life brought me to this path, because I think I found my passion through tequila, and that's something that I will never expect. I was like, no, I don't want to do anything that has to do with tequila. I don't want to be here. And now it's like, it's my passion, and it's my life, and I love drinking tequila.
That shows. I've been to your distillery many times with you, and the way that you are able to share what mm-hmm. you do there and how you do the process, you share it with so much passion that it instantly pulls people in to want to learn and want to listen, because you're able to really share how this is not just something that you do, but part of your life and part of your passion. I think that's really impressive.
Oh, thank you so much. I truly appreciate it. And that means a lot, because that's the whole purpose of the experiences, right? Like, we want you to connect with tequila, not just come in here and get a shot and get drunk and that's it. Like, we want to change the perspective, the view of this industry. There's so much things to see that even locals, we don't know about. So knowing that you had that feeling after you left the distillery means that we are doing a good job with those experiences. So thank you.
You guys do a fantastic job. Everywhere I go in tequila, when I'm visiting the town, everybody knows Rene Carranza, your father. Like, mm-hmm. I think even the tourists know Rene Carranza when you're walking through town. That's my cousin. That's my sister. That's my uncle, my brother. Mm-hmm. Like, everybody is part of this family, and I love that. So growing up, was there always like tequila around and people talking about tequila and it always be there, or was really, did you not notice it as a kid, and it, as you got older, it kind of became a thing?
I mean, like, definitely there's a contact of tequila in my life, because I was born in the city of tequila, right?
Sure.
And there's distilleries all over the place, and you see all these trucks with the piñas of agave going to these different places to be distilled. Like, there's definitely a contact, but I think there wasn't an appreciation. At least, like, from my personal life, I think, like, that was something that never called my attention. I think I took it for granted because I was just so familiar with it. And until I started working in it is when I started to understand it. But in terms of my family, like, my grandparents, my father, my mother, like, they never started, like, in this industry. Like, they didn't born, like, being master tequileros or drinking tequila. Actually, funny thing, my father didn't used to drink anything, like not even tequila. Like, he wasn't interested at all. He was actually more coming from the farming side, because my grandparents were farmers their whole lives, and they farm not only agave, but different types of crops like corn, beans, different types of fruits. Like, they weren't dedicated fully to tequila. But when agave started to become a thing because of this industry, they started to get involved with this business too. Same as my father. He followed the steps of my grandparents by doing his own plantations of agaves. So that was like the first contact. But still, same mentality of, like, I don't care about the spirit. It's just like, I focus on my own thing. But he's also being like very interested in businesses, in creating things by himself. Like, he's an innate entrepreneur, right? Like, since he was in high school, like, he started his own business that was more linked to technology, and then this company turns into a computer service, and then he was teaching how to use computers, and now they're doing printing, design, transportation. Like, he's been always into business. And that's why when he got the opportunity to invest in the distillery where we produced Atanasio in 2011, he wanted to participate, not necessarily because he was someone like passionate about tequila, but it was his dream to become a master tequilero. It was more like, okay, like, this business idea caused my attention. Like, it thrills me. I want to be part of it. I want to understand it. So in 2011, he started to get like deeper into detail in terms of production of tequila, which at the time wasn't tequila what we were producing at the distillery. It was agave spirit, because mm-hmm. the distillery wasn't certified, right? So he started getting involved, understanding process. And I think, like, from there, same as me, he started to realize so many things about this industry, right? Like, how complex it is and how rich is the character of tequila, right? Like, when you make it respecting time, respecting the ambience, the environment that surrounds your process, and of course the time in the lab. He started realizing a lot of things. Then in 2017, the distillery got certified for tequila production, and in that year is where my father fully immersed himself into, you know, the brand and taking, in practically managing the distillery. And it was an eye-opening experience for him, right? Like, and now he's one of the most passionate persons I know in the tequila industry. But it's so recent. He also found his passion, and thanks to his passion, now he trespassed that to me. I think, like, it's very contagious, right? Like, the way he shares his story, his vision, and he understands the fields because that's how he grew up. But then distillation and production of tequila came after. But there's also so much beauty in it. And that's why he feels that love for this industry. And I think, like, he shares that very well with everyone that surrounds him. And now everyone knows him as a tequilero, right? As you say, like, everyone knows him in tequila. Like, that's actually, like, also recent, right? Like, oh, like, he's making tequila, or how delicious it is, tequila Tanasio. And that's a beautiful feeling, because that the work that it's been put into this project is now paying back, right? Like, now people see it. Now there's more people connecting with what we're creating.
His passion is contagious as well. My wife and I were talking one day when we were riding in a car with him and Christiana, and mm-hmm. we were talking about him at one point being a teacher. And Tony's like, well, if he was a high school teacher, that was probably distracting to a lot of the girls in school. But your dad's a pretty good looking guy.
Yeah,
so
he's cute. Awesome.
He's fantastic.
But very entertaining. That captures, actually, it's a good thing, because you capture attention and you make sure that everyone learns. But funny thing, like, he was giving, like, classes. He wasn't a high school teacher. He was teaching computers, right? How to use them, like, especially in that time, right? Like, when computers were, like, a very new thing for everyone. But the funny thing is that he didn't know how to use a computer. He was like, I'll figure it out. And then next week, I teach the people how to use it. But he was always, like, 1 week ahead, trying to find, like, something new to teach. And that's how he learned using computers. And same as tequila, right? Like, he's, like, by making questions and getting immersed into the process. And, you know, go in and see the experience of others. I think that's why he is the man that it is today, because he actually immersed himself into the industry. It wasn't just like, oh, I'm a master tequilero and that's it. I'm taking the name. No, he right. earned it. Yeah.
Yeah, completely. And you can taste it in the tequila. Like, you guys turn out some of the best tequila that I enjoy. I share it with everybody that I can. They all say the same thing. They grab a glass, they taste it, and they're like, wow, I haven't tasted tequila like this, or I didn't know tequila could taste like that. I get that all the time, whether it is Atanasio or of course, Velar, you know, which we're all very proud of as well. It's great to see people's faces when they taste a tequila like this. And I love to tell the story of the tequila and the distillery. It's so fun. And it's one of those stories that, to me, is that rags to riches type story, that I'm going to do everything that I can to get started. I'm doing it all my own. We're small production. We're truly traditional and artisanal. And I think people get so excited about that. So I really commend you guys for the work that you do behind that.
Yeah, no, and it's beautiful to see those reactions in people. And something that is important to understand is this tequila is not just a work on one person. It's not just my dad. It's not just me. It's like the whole team, right? Like, production team and the people that is doing the labels and the people that is working hard in the fields. Like, this is a teamwork that makes this spirit possible. Like, my father, he's like there supervising, making sure that everything goes well. But without the people that is doing the production, the distillation, the fermentation, this wouldn't be possible. So it's beautiful, like, how everyone puts their little efforts together so we can create something so special that gives that reaction to people. So that's the whole goal, right? To make people happy and give something that we feel proud of.
That's awesome. Okay, let's talk about this Atanasio experience. I've been to Mexico a lot. People ask me, what distillery should I visit? And I always tell them, you have to go to Atanasio. Your guys' experience is bar none, one of the best of all of the distilleries in the region. So tell people when they sign up for a tour, what all are they going to see and what is that distillery tour like for them when they come?
It makes me so happy to know that you have that perception of our experiences. Like, we also put a lot of love and effort in them. So what are the experiences of Atanasio? Like, if you go to our website, you'll see like the different options, but like the most popular experience, which is the one that you lived, we call it the jornalero experience, the farmer experience, practically, right? And it consists in putting, you know, we're going to wear the boots of the farmers. Like, we're going to get connected to the land and connected to the activities that they have to do in order to take care of the agaves. So at the end, they have all this maturity and quality we require to make a good tequila. Not a lot of people understand that agaves take 10 years to reach its fullest maturity from where they emerge from the ground. So there's a lot of activities that have to happen in between. And the people that is in charge of doing these activities are the jornaleros, right? The farmers. There's no automatization. There's no robots supplying like their activities. There's no big machineries, just like the hands of the laborers. And that's surprisingly like the thing that no one knows and understands about this industry. We know a lot about process. We know about this cooking method, this like whatever, but we don't talk about the people that is working hard every day in the fields so we can get this beautiful agaves of the time, right? So you first arrive to the distillery. We start with this introduction about what are the jornaleros. And then I'm like, here in my, this place, you're not drinking tequila if you don't work first. Like, you have to prove me that you deserve it. So after warning everyone, we all jump in the back of the truck because that's how the jornaleros go to work to the fields. Sometimes the terrains, the areas are very complicated to get to. So ideally, you all go once in group together in one truck and in the back because it's where everyone fits, right? So you jump. We jump in the back of a truck. We do a little ride, a couple of minutes. We arrive to this beautiful property that you already saw. It's a very panoramic agave field that you could. It will be very hard to find in tequila. You know, I said, like, if you want to get immersed into the agave fields, like, this is the best experience for you. So we go to the lands, and everyone is like, ah, they want to chill under the shade of the tree. They just want to, they think it's going to be like a very comfortable experience. And I'm like, I take my little tools. I bring them all to me with me. And I said, like, I wasn't kidding. Like, we actually work it. So there's where we start talking about different activities that the jornaleros do. Like, the one I focalize is the harvest of hijuelos, which is how we reproduce the agaves. Like, if you want to know more about it, come to us. So we do the harvest of the hijuelos, we plant them, and everyone gets to participate in this activity because it's not the same listening about it or just seeing the activity than actually doing it. I think, like, it changes your mindset completely. So everyone participates in this activity, and after we plant the agaves, we start discussing more about this plant and questions that everyone might have, because for us it's very important that this space allows everyone to understand better the tequila culture. Like, that's what we want to promote. That's why our groups are very private. You know, like, we want to make sure that when you leave, you change your perspective about tequila completely, or you learn something new. So we make a space for everyone to make their questions. So after talking about the agaves, we join under the shade of a little tree that where we set up a little fire, a little table with some food, and we all prepare our breakfast, which is also known as the farmer breakfast or the jornalero breakfast. Because when the jornaleros go to work, they start very early in the morning, 5, 6 a.m. They work hard, and there's a moment where you're hungry and tired and you need to rest. So you join under the shade of a tree and you set up your food and you heat up your food, right, to recover. So that's practically the representation that we want to give. I gotta say that this experience, parentheses, was created by my father because he grew up like that. Remember, sure, that he was always involved with the farming side of the industry because of my grandparents. So when he was a child, he remembers going with my grandfather, working in the fields and just having a little time like under the shade so that they could recover. And the food was so delicious. because you were actually starving, right? Like you were tired. You needed the food. Like nowadays, we just eat for pleasure, right? Like because we want to eat, not because we need it. So he wanted to do this experience with that same purpose. Like you work to earn the food and you eat it because you need it, right? You need it to keep going. So after having these little conversations, right? Like it's like a little space where everyone relaxes and we can get like, you know, to the detail in terms of questions about the agaves, the jornaleros. And after finishing, we go back to the distillery. And there in the distillery is where we now start learning about the process, which is also very important to understand, especially when you are in this artisanal side of making tequila, where your fermentation has exposition to the ambience and to microorganisms, where your cooking is different and distillation is different. Like we want to highlight the beauty of the process as well. And of course, like, so you can enjoy better the experience, the little tour, we give you a little cocktail. We call it cantarito, very traditional from Jalisco. So you are all drinking and, you know, connecting with production. We also make sure to respond all the questions you might have. And after the distillery tour is done, is when we finalize with the tequila tasting. And we give you the try, of course, like the family of tequila Tanasio. But the way we do our tastings are also very interesting, I say, because in a Tanasio philosophy is that we want to highlight the base. You know, we want to highlight the essence, which is the tequila blanco, right? Because in the blanco is where you capture the time that you let the agaves growing in the ground and the beauty and artisanal side of your process. I think like that's the letter of presentation of any master tequila. So the way we do our tasting is by starting by the age expressions, añejo, reposado, and then we finish with the blancos. So we can feel that contrast, right, of going to the essence. And understanding that the essence is what makes good the reposados and the añejos, right? But these expressions have like something that complements them, something that is additional, which is the barrel. But the essence is the one that has to be good. So I guide you through all these little steps of how to taste tequila, how to undress it, right? And at the end, like we share our experiences and you find what you like, you find what you love. And since the tasting goes at the end, after working hard, after having all these conversations, after understanding process, tequila tastes completely different. You know, like in a different perspective. You're like, wow, I didn't know that to make this little sip of tequila, there was at least 10 years of work. And there was like all these jornaleros working hard. And then they were doing this complex production. And here we are, right? Like, I feel that tequila tastes different after living our experience. So if you are around tequila, please listen to Brad and come to visit us. I would love to share more of the tequila culture with everyone.
If that description right there doesn't want to make you right now book a flight to Guadalajara, stay downtown or at Casa Sayas, or even if you have to pop a tent outside of San Pedro Los Landeros to get in early, that description is the reason people need to come to Atanasio and do the experience.
I'm very glad we filmed this. I'm very glad. Like, I was like, okay. Like, I think that's a perfect commercial description.
Yeah, you're going to use that on your website. That was that good. And I can attest to that experience is so amazing. To jump in that truck and to head up to the field and to watch you talk about that process of the agave growing with the volcano on one side of the background and the sun coming through those agaves and the shade of the tree, having you talk about the process of how that plant grows and then what everybody has to do the work. I learned a lot about how you can tell if the agave should be replanted, if it's going to be healthy or not, how you guys take that machete and chop the agaves off so everybody doesn't get cut to pieces is amazing. It is such an amazing experience. And then there's something epic about seeing your dad stand under that tree with the sun behind him and everything cooking. Like it's so picturesque.
Preparing the fire for all of us.
I'm going to put a video during our talking of that whole epic thing of your dad standing there. But it is an amazing experience. And then to come back to the distillery and see something that is artisanal, like you talked about, that's smaller, than what most people are expecting to see. But that does drive me to a question, because now there's this new little piece of equipment that I got to see. Have you guys done a batch in the new stone brick oven yet?
Yes, at the moment, we're producing the first ever batch with that brick oven, and we're very, very excited to see how it's going to come out. Like, for those who doesn't know, Atanasio regularly produces, regularly cooks the agave with an autoclave. Like, the autoclave is made of stainless steel, and you cook the agaves with steams and pressure. So with the brick oven, like, now it's taking us longer time to finalize the cooking process, because now we're using the steams, right, the heat. So it's now taking us an average of 3 days. Wow. to get the agaves ready for the next steps. So this first batch of cooking agaves in the brick ovens, like, taught us a lot, because actually the agaves came a little bit caramelized. So we are excited to see what characteristics that is going to provide to our tequila. And my dad is also making some little things on the sides, because we're thinking of maybe making something special with this batch that we first created with the brick oven. So he's making, like, some fermentation that is different as well to what we typically do. Like, he's now doing with fibers of the agave and playing with it. Well, my father is a mad scientist. He likes to go a little bit out of the line. So I'm so looking forward to see how it's going to come out. But yeah, we are very excited, because in Atanasio, we also want to go back to the old school. You know, we want to little by little bring all of these old processes we used to see in the tequila industry, you know, like brick ovens, or maybe like an underground oven in certain point, open air fermentation with fibers, with a pipon, distillation with copper. That's something that we cannot do from one day to another. There's the intention, but people have to understand that there's investment behind, right? So we want to do it like little by little. But that doesn't mean that because you don't have that equipment, you cannot make like a good product. My dad is, he always says, like, it's not about the tools, it's how you play with the tools. That's so right. It's understanding even the mother equipment, right? Like, how can you create something interesting? And I think that is very good reflected in the current line of Atanasio. Like, what we all taste is coming from a production with stainless steel. And people is like, what? I thought you were using a Tajona. I thought you were using, like, a Pipones. No, it's stainless steel, but we know how to play with the tools. And now we are, after understanding that, it's like, how can we play more? We want to bring more things. We want to understand better. We want to create more variations. So we'll see. We'll see how it's going to come out, this first batch of tequila Tanasi in the brick oven.
So is that batch right now in fermentation?
In fermentation stage. That is correct. And we are cooking another round of agaves at the moment. So, looking forward to taste it.
If it's in fermentation now, if I booked a ticket to fly down the day after tomorrow, I'm probably getting close to being able to taste that coming out of the still.
Yeah, like, it's actually almost finalizing the fermentation. I suppose, like, probably in the next couple of days, there's going to be some this from that batch. So you better run, Brad. You better run.
I don't know if I can talk my wife into letting me fly down in two more days. Over the last 3 months, I've been in Mexico as much as I've been in America.
True. I've seen you more often in Mexico than here.
No, I love it there. I just want to move there. But that, I'm so excited about tasting that product. Not that your product needed any improvement in any way, shape, or form. It's about being able to have another expression, another piece of this fantastic tequila. I'm really
another
excited.
Toy.
Exactly.
Another toy to play. Yeah, definitely. Like, we're so excited. And, like, being a mad scientist like my dad, like, I'm sure that is going to bring up a lot of new stuff in Atanasio.
So is this going to turn into another SKU of product, where you're going to have Atanasio Blanco brick oven, Atanasio regular, Atanasio high-proof brick oven? Like, are we going to create some special expressions that people are going to be able to buy to know that it's specifically that new one?
Like, at the moment, we're still trying to figure it out what are going to be, like, the purpose of the brick oven. Like, of course, it's going to be part of our family of Atanasio. Maybe not creating a new label, because I think, like, there's various expressions already. but like giving some extra to maybe the Origines line. We still don't know at the moment. Like I don't want to lie to you or like invent things that we're not precise at the moment, but definitely it's going to be part of our regular productions, which is still figuring out like where we're going to focus that production to, or maybe for special editions, but it's going to be part of our regular production. You know, like the idea is to keep the brick oven and the autoclave working all the time. So we have a flow. We have a flow of the distilleries. So we'll see. That's why we want to test it, right? We want to see what character this cooking process has, right? What has to offer. And we want to highlight that and make it like 100% brick oven, or if we want to combine it. So
sure.
We are now in the experimental stage too, like understanding. And then we'll see. We'll see. And people will know very soon what we're going to do with this. With this new cooking method.
Fantastic. Okay, let's dive into this one, because this one is the one that I have is Mexico only. This one was not put into the States, if that's correct, right? And
at the moment, it is available in the U.S.
Right. So when I got this, it was only in Mexico, and now it is available in the States, correct? So mine's all in Spanish. So I can't read any of this one yet. I have the Google lens, everything about it. But because that high proof that you held up, okay, so this is one of my favorite tequilas to drink. This high proof Blanco has all of the great Atanasio flavor in the purest form. And of course, over my shoulder is my favorite Blanco to drink. This is fantastic. I love it. I wish it was more available in my area, because I would have so many more of them at my house.
I know. We're working on that.
Let's talk about the differences from your original Blanco to this, and then talk about the Repo product and really what this is all about, so people can know to look for these and find them and how special they are there.
Okay. So first I can tell you the differences. So the bottle that you hold, like the one that is behind you, this bottle of tequila Blanco, well, that expression is at 40 ABV. That's the result of, you know, the production that we had in our distillery. We do cooking with an autoclave, open air fermentation in stainless steel tanks. We do double distillation in stainless steel stills. And then after we get the tequila, or still strong tequila 55, we take down the tequila, the proof, to 40. That's like, in generalization, what the process represents in that bottle of tequila Atanasio. Then Orígenes, it's a higher proof expression of our process. Like it goes in the same way, cooking with autoclave, open air fermentation, double distillation with the same equipment, but the alcohol content will be higher, which means that it has less dilution, so more concentration of the alcohol that we obtain from the agave. And like in essence, in the process, like they are the same, but since each production of Atanasio is made separate, each batch preserves its own characteristics, right? So if you compare that Orígenes that you have in front of you against the Blanco at 40 ABV, like it feels like they are two completely different worlds. First of all, for the alcohol content, and second of all, because they are different batches, right? So it's not the same when we are producing a batch when it's hot, like hot weather, to when it's cold weather, because then there's different exposition to the ambience, different times of fermentation, different type of microorganisms that influence in the taste of your tequila, right? So that gives a uniqueness to each expression of Atanasio. Even between the same line of Orígenes, you might taste some green, fresh, peppery characteristics in this one, but the previous batches, we once made one that came out funky, right? That tasted like cheese, yogurt. And that's something like more related to the process, but like to the other factors, the external factors, not the equipment itself, but more related to microorganisms. And the idea behind of Orígenes, the reason why we called it as Orígenes, was to honor the origins of tequila, because tequilas from the old school were always higher proof. Actually, there used to be a norm that described that tequila is an agave spirit that is from 45 ABV and above. So there was like no smooth tequilas by that time. And my father, with the idea of going back to the old traditions, you know, to bring people to how tequila used to be. He wanted to make this line of high proofs. He wanted to be disruptive, right? Like that you don't have to make something smooth to bring people to the tequila world. Like you can give them something like this, intense, but it's so rich in characteristics that compensates the spiciness. So that's the idea behind of this other presentation. But in terms of process, both expressions are the same. It's just different characteristics from the environment and, of course, different sensations in the palate for the alcohol content. And, well, the one that is on your right hand, the Orígenes Reposado, that's a new release. It's also a 46 ABV expression. It's a high proof. But this one, we age it. We make it a reposado. This tequila, we put it inside of American oak barrels. These barrels were used. Then we char, we did a medium toast to the barrels, and we let the tequila 7 months. After the 7 month aging was done, we took it out, we bottled it, and that's practically it. It preserves, you know, like all this sweetness and pepperiness, greenness from the plant, but very well balanced with the oakiness and these honey characteristics that the barrel has to offer. So that's in generalization what each expression represents.
The honey and the caramel and the vanilla that shows up in this repo is more intense than your normal repo. And I think that's because the agave is so much more intense in the flavor as well. That like you would think, oh, well, this tamed it down. But no, the agave like punches it up. Like the flavor. There's more there and more rounded, and it's delicious. So, but I have to tell you, if I'm going to grab one, that's why this is almost gone, and this is
you have to get some more Orígenes, and definitely, like I agree with you. Like I normally drink tequila blanco, like that's
me too.
My go-to. I always have my bottle of blanco wherever I go, but I think like these Reposado high proof highlights like the beauty of both sides, the beauty of the character of the agave. Like you don't lose it at all. Like actually I feel this very present, like it's not like I'm here. And the barrel, I feel like it gives like that sweet touch that makes this beautiful dance between all these characteristics. And like so far it's been one of my favorite reposados. Like I love the high proofs, I love this light oakiness, and like I'm so looking forward for people to give it a try. Like we've put so much love into it, and as I told you, like it's now available in the US market and probably very soon in the stores that are close by all your listeners. So if you have the chance to try it, like definitely do this. It's one of our favorites so far.
It is so amazing. And I actually hung on to it with it unopened on the shelf waiting for this interview. I brought this home and back in early August. So it has just been waiting for this interview because I wanted to share it with you when we were on here. And it is so good. It is so amazing.
Thank you. Thank you so much for sharing this bottle with me. It truly means a lot. Salucita.
No worries.
Cheers for that.
Cheers, cheers. Okay, tell everybody, where can they find you? What states are you readily available in that someone can run out and pick you up in a store today?
Oh my God. It's because we have presence up at the moment, if I'm not mistaken, in 20, you said countries or states?
States. In the U.S.
Okay, in 20 states in the U.S. But the ones like, of course, that the main markets will be California, Florida, we're in Illinois, New York, New Jersey, Texas, and then in other states that maybe you won't see the brand like everywhere, but you can find it. Like my suggestion is always like go and search in your Google searcher, like Tequila Tanasio in California, in Texas, and then it's going to pop up information about the places where you can find it. Like some examples of some big stores where you can get Atanasio is Total Wine in California, for example. We are now present in Costco in some stores. We are in Specs, and there's also some great online stores such as SipTequila.com. They do shipping all over United States. So if you are in a place where you can't find Tequila Atanasio in the stores, like you can order directly from them. And there's many, many examples. That's why I always suggest like go and give it a search, and I'm sure that you will find like something that connects you with the brand. And like in bars, restaurants, we also are pushing our presence, but it's hard to tell like from all these different areas where you can find it precisely. Like I always say, like just pay attention or ask, because when you ask, also the bartenders and, you know, the people that is taking care of the bars, like will know that the Atanasio is there, right? Like that Atanasio is making itself present. So we are putting so much love to make Atanasio arrive to more and more places, but we still like working on that. We're still pushing it, but if you have the opportunity to search for it, like I'm sure you're going to find it.
That's very important for everybody to know. If Atanasio is not in your area, when you go into your liquor store, ask for it. Show them how to find Atanasio on their website, atanasio.com. Ask for it. That way that gets that liquor store to know that you're interested in it. Then they're going to start asking their distributors for Atanasio. The distributor's going to look for an importer. The importer's going to find a way to bring Atanasio to your state.
So, please order Atanasios wherever you go.
and that's very important. A lot of people don't realize that if you walk into a liquor store and what you're looking for is not on a shelf, go ask for it, because that's the process of getting that tequila here. They're in Illinois, so I can only drive to Chicago to go pick this up. But I do order a lot from siptequila.com, which is a great place to get great tequila. So if you're in a state that you don't have Atanasio, go there. Go to their website. You can get a lot of information at Atanasio's website. And you also can sign up for the Atanasio experience on the website as well, correct?
Exactly. Like you will see all the information of the various experiences we offer. Like you book directly and I'll be waiting for you to work in the fields with me.
There you go. So you also can find them all over social media. Both Shasid does a great job. Her dad, Rene Carranza on Instagram, he posts amazing stuff. When you're in tequila, there's an amazing bar to go to when you're in town too. And all I can do is encourage people to find Atanasio, follow you guys on social media, and go do this experience. And seriously, if you have a question about the experience or how to do it, please send me a DM, send me an email, call me. I'll help you get this set up so you can go do one of the best experiences in all tequila. And Shasid, I want to say thank you so much. I know you're incredibly busy. You got all of these fantastic, wonderful things happening in your life that we're going to talk about later. You're so amazing. I just really appreciate you doing this for me and taking your time, and love you, girl. You guys are amazing. I can't wait to come see you again, and salute.
Salucita. Thank you so much for the opportunity, Brad. It's been like such a lovely time to share all of this together. And thank you. Thank you once again for the space. Like, I'm so looking forward to see you back in tequila and keep going with the chisme.
Who knows? We may be there soon. So thanks a lot.
You always surprise me.
We'll surprise you. Exactly. All right. Yeah. Have a great night, my friend. Cheers.
Dude, thank you so much. Cheers.